Well, this evening I want to take a little trip with you. We're going to go from the countryside to Calvary, and we're going to do it through the eyes of Simon, the Cyrenian. For some time, this has been on my mind, and I want to share a few thoughts with you. So let's read firstly in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. As far as I know, there's only about three verses in the Bible that talk about Simon. But we'll see what we can learn about him tonight. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Next reading is in Mark 15. Mark chapter 15 and verse 21. It reads, and they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Third reading is in Luke 23. Luke chapter 23, and we'll read verse 26. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one, Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. If we were to continue and look in the book of John, there's no record in John regarding Simon carrying the cross. However, it is important to consider what John records in Luke 19, verses 16 through 17, which reads, then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Since January the 1st, 2023, I've been hanging on to the Choice Gleanings calendar. And I thought it was a very interesting way that the publisher of Choice Gleanings decided to use this particular one for the first day of a new year. And here we are, just started our fifth month. And this is just, to me, it just fits in with what I want to say to you. I'll read it to you. Simon was passing by. He had other plans that day, another destination, but God had a plan too. In a moment, Simon's course was turned. Harsh hands compelled him to bear another's cross and to walk with him to Golgotha amidst a riotous storm of humanity. It changed Simon's life. As the year unfolds and we daily pass by, making our own plans, setting our own destinations, don't be surprised if God interrupts, because he has cross-bearing plans for us too. It may be hard at the moment, but it will lead us to Calvary and closer to Christ. It will change our life. The little poem at the bottom of the Choice Gleaning said, may I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even the cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. So, who was Simon? Well, from what I can understand, he was a Jew from Cyrene, a town in Libya near the Mediterranean Sea. He must have come to Jerusalem as a Jewish pilgrim desiring to celebrate the Feast of the Passover. In the list of places written in Acts chapter 2, you will find Cyrene mentioned. So Simon and others would make the long journey from their city to Jerusalem. Was he even aware of what was happening in the past two or three days? And the when he arrived, was he aware of what was going on as far as the crucifixion of Christ? Probably not. As we've read in Mark, he had come out of the country and was simply passing by. But because of one major interruption in his life, he came out of the crowd of people to be forever known as the one who bore the cross of Christ. From a bystander to a cross bearer in a matter of minutes. Are interruptions in my life from God? We read earlier from the calendar that we should not be surprised if God does interrupt our lives. The longer I looked at Simon, the more I came to realize that there is an interesting formula here. Divine interruptions and our obedience truly can equal great outcomes. The final outcome is determined by the first two things in that formula. If you don't mind, I would like to get personal and just ask you, have you had any divine interruptions in your life lately? What else can we learn about Simon? Firstly, I want to think of him as a silent servant. He is standing in a group of people, and the next thing, he is compelled to bear the Lord's cross. Compel is used a number of times in the Bible, and the meaning of the word varies. However, there is very specific meaning of this word the three times it's used in the New Testament. Two times it is used directly relating to Simon in the verses we read. The third time is in Matthew 5:41, where the Lord says, "And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." In my study, I was interested to learn that there is a term in Roman law that is sometimes called the tap of the spear. A Roman soldier could compel anyone to carry a load for him for the space of a mile simply by tapping his victim on the shoulder with his spear. This practice was despised by occupied countries, for it reinforced their humiliation and disgrace as a conquered people. You could quite imagine what that would be like to just kind of be standing around minding your own business and a soldier come up to you and tap you on the shoulder and get you to do something. You could see how that would bother people. Many people wanted to see the Lord crucified, but it seems that there was no one interested in carrying his cross. People would not want to receive the tap of the spear. Most people would not want to put themselves in harm's way and be directly associated with the shame and the horrors of the cross. We learn how horrible crucifixion was when we read books like the one entitled The Path of His Passion by the author Bill Crowder. He writes, crucifixion was an incredibly brutal form of capital punishment. The Romans had made it their magnum opus, which in Latin means their great work. They fine-tuned it and perfected it in order to prolong the death of the condemned as long as possible, maximizing the suffering of the executed person and making it a powerful warning to observers. A person that was crucified would suffer the greatest degree of agony before finally dying in misery and disgrace in a form of punishment that was truly cruel and unusual. It was so brutal that death by crucifixion was not allowed as a form of execution for Roman citizens. There were also those who had made it very clear that Christ should not be crucified as he was innocent of all charges brought against him. We read and learn of six that made it very clear in their mind that Christ was innocent. And I'm sure that there was many others who would fully agree that Christ was innocent. And these people would definitely not want to be involved in the crucifixion, and they certainly would not want to carry his cross. Also, though, there are verses that would clearly speak to us in the scriptures that the curse, a divine curse placed upon a person. There is a divine curse placed upon a person that was hung upon a tree. And we know that from Deuteronomy and Galatians, and we think of the Lord Jesus tonight that it said, "Cursed is everyone that hung upon a tree," and yet he was so willing to bear the curse for us. But there was one that was compelled to bear the cross of Christ. When it comes to Simon and the word compelled in the Greek, it means to be a courier, to press into public service. But the explanation of this word, the one that I read anyways, it goes a little further. And it simply says to go. To go. So simple. Compelled. Go. Go, get on with what you've been asked or told to do. I found this very challenging to myself. Has a divine interruption come into your life and you're wondering what to do? Have you gone before God and prayed over it? And you feel that there is something that is God is calling you to do. Do you feel compelled to do it? Is it your go time? Is it a time to separate yourself from the crowd and directly move into something very specific in service for God? It's very challenging thoughts when you consider Simon. Interesting, we do not read of any verbal response from Simon. There are no recorded words, to my knowledge, spoken by Simon. He's the silent servant who served. Was it the tap on the spear from a Roman soldier? Or was it a loving response of an obedient heart, ready to simply submit and to serve? It is remarkable that God used Simon, of all the people in the crowd, to be compelled and put into service. Unlike many others in scriptures, there are only the few verses that we read that speak of him. He appears on the scene, and then he just seems to disappear. It is interesting who God chooses to fulfill his purposes. Simon is there, compelled to bear the cross of the Lord, and he does it. Simon truly is the one who submitted silently to be used of God. So what was the path like that Simon and the Lord took? It has been referred to as the way of suffering, or the sorrowful way. It is approximately a half a mile long. I believe it would be a narrow street of stone, more like an alleyway. Other days it would have been filled with people going about their business. This was a very different day. The commerce of the day was put aside. It would be crowded and congested, filled with three condemned men, their crosses, the soldiers, and the curious mob that followed. It would be a scene filled with yelling and jeering, every action done with hate and no regard whatsoever to the personal well-being of the convicted men. The Lord Jesus had endured the illegal trials and the awful beatings that followed the trials. the beatings of men with clubs and fists, the awful crown of thorns, the scourging had already taken place. Christ had been battered beyond human recognition. We are reminded of the words of Isaiah 52 and 14. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. The time had come to walk the long path, painful road to Golgotha. During this walk, Simon serves as he bears the cross of Christ. I see no record in Scripture as to the length of time Simon carried the cross or the exact distance he traveled. But the verse from Luke 23 reminds us that Simon is bearing the cross of Christ, and he is walking behind the Lord Jesus. The truth of Isaiah 50, verse 7, comes to mind where the servant expresses his complete confidence in God, declaring that he will not shrink back from his mission despite severe suffering, opposition, and humiliation. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. Flint is a very hard, dark rock, and it is used figuratively in the Bible to express hardness. It's used in Isaiah as the firmness of the horse's hoofs, the toughness of an impossible task in Deuteronomy. And yet it is also the unwavering determination, and that is certainly what we saw of the Lord Jesus. Set your face like flint is the figure of speech the prophet uses to describe Christ's unwavering determination to persevere in the excruciating task set before him. Christ would endure humiliation on his journey to the cross to die for our sins. And nearly 800 years before it happened, Isaiah foretold the suffering of the Lord's servant. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Luke echoes the same image of Christ set on saving his people. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus set off firmly committed to finish his mission. There would be no backing out, and no enemy or accuser could deter him from accomplishing his purpose. He had set his face like a flint. I wonder what the exchange of the cross would have been like as Simon takes it from the Lord and continues on with the burden. What would he be thinking as the heavy, rough wooden cross is placed upon him? For us, the believer, the truth of 1 Peter 2:24 comes to mind, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Simon would be seeing firsthand the ultimate truth that this is a voluntary sacrifice. John 10:17-18 says, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Well, I want to conclude, but there's a few thoughts that I want to share with you. Simon walked behind the Lord carrying the cross. I find that very interesting, that it would be spoken from Scripture like that. He was the one that had silently submitted as he served him. He saw him. I really wonder if he had actually spoken with him. What words would he have said? But ultimately, he surveyed the wondrous. The wondrous cross of the Savior. One other thing. As he carried the cross, he stayed close to Christ. Could I encourage you tonight? Stay close to the cross. Stay close to the Christ of the cross. Don't let him get out of your sight. We, like Christ, can set our face steadfast like a flint and with determination follow after him. Take the truth of Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. To set the Lord always before me means many things. Here's a few thoughts. I will love him. I will love him above all else. I will love his word wholeheartedly. I will long to please him in all that I do. I will yearn, I will want to draw near to him every single day. I will seek his will above my own. I will fully believe he will direct my life, realizing he has a plan for my life. I'm going to go back to pretty well where I started. I will remember that divine interruptions and obedience can result in great things for God. I will conclude with a little poem that I located. It said, "Thou must have looked on Simon. Turn, Lord, and look on me. Till I shall see and follow and bear thy cross for thee. Thou must have looked on Simon." Isn't that something that Ian would give that hymn out tonight? We're going to look upon him. Every believer will look fully in his face. Well, Jim Hanna, he just passed away. I wonder what beauties he's seen as he entered into heaven. Lord bless his word. Stay close to the cross. Stay close to the Christ that was put on the cross.